Good morning. I'm Pastor Gordon of Harvest Church, Maple Ridge. It's a great joy to me and the congregation that you've taken the time to listen to this morning's service. It is trusted that God's richest blessing will be yours as you listen to the singing and to the message entitled, Daniel, Our Pattern of Following God. I invite you to join the congregation as they now sing, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, and Jesus Paid It All. Our special music is the song, He Hideth My Soul, sung by the Inspiration Singers of Calgary, Alberta. God bless you as you listen to the upcoming service.
Now in need of God, I'm Thank you.
pastor. Delighted to be here. It's a great time in the Holy Spirit. So would you please turn with me then in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're re-examining for our last time that wonderful, glorious passage that says, be followers of God as His dear children. We reflect already on the passage that the development of our following God as His dear children, Paul has already established in Ephesians chapter 1, is probable and possible because before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God predestined us unto eternal life. This sense of predestination gives us a glorious confidence that there is no hesitation in the mind of God to fully welcome us, to hold us dear to Himself, and to give us the insight so that we can be invigorated by the Holy Spirit to stand, and having done all, to stand fully welcome in God Himself. For you and I, as born-again believers who know God, who love God, and who follow God with diligent pursuit, as if that was our only goal, there is no such thing as self-actualization. There is no quest for you and I to discover ourselves so that we can discover God. Rather, we open the door to His kindness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His tender-heartedness, and full forgiveness, so that in allowing Him to fill our heart, we now go beyond ourselves to see ourselves even as the living God sees us. And He sees you and I today, despite your awkwardness, despite your personality flaws, despite all the apparatus that would come your way to discourage you from loving yourself to the maximum potential, that God loves you. And now, as you see yourself loved of God, you yourself can love yourself as He does. And so today I hope that your maximum potential in identifying your good worth is not because of yourself. It's all because of His grace demonstrated on the cross. And now through Him, you are at the fullest potential that you can possibly be. That's all fine and well. But are there any biblical examples that we can turn to that will help us understand the providential grace of God that will encourage us to follow Him more diligently as if there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that matters? And to help us today, I've chosen Daniel as our key focus to help us understand how we can follow God. Now, Daniel is a very, very key passage in what we call eschatological times, or disclosing the mind of God as to the coming of His kingdom. But we need to understand the personhood of Daniel to understand how God could use him so magnificently in such a dramatic way of announcing the kingdom. There are three individuals that are known in the Bible of God's predominant love. The first one, of course, is Joshua. The second one is Joseph. And the third one is Daniel. Joshua is known of the Lord because he was the one that was entrusted to lead Israel into Canaan. And in Joshua chapter 1, we hear and we read the Lord saying unto him that he should not do anything else but to learn the word of God and meditate it, and all that the Lord will give him will be rightfully his. And then we come to Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. He was a dreamer that was betrayed by his own brothers, thrown into the pit, tested in Potiphar's house, but he stood firm with the Lord, and the Lord raised him to be the president over Egypt. And now there's Daniel. Daniel. And when we speak of Daniel, we immediately think of him and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. But let's start with the narrative and see how God allowed Daniel to follow him. Now, Daniel was a Jewish individual. He was living in Israel at some time, But in the providential grace of God, the Israelites were taken into captivity by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar at that time was the king. The date of this happening is about 607 BC. Nebuchadnezzar conquered all of Hamath. He also disclosed within his mind that he should also take over all of Syria. And then he moved as far right to the gates of Judea, or Pelusium, on the Egyptian border. Immediately afterward, his father died, and he hurried back to Babylon to take full, unwavering control of the kingdom. This leadership was unchallenged by anybody else. Nebuchadnezzar ruled with a very, very firm hand. Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken and held by Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 1, we find four methods that you and I can discover that will empower us to follow God. First of all, Daniel accepts his plight as a God-given timely placement. In the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with a part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought his vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in all knowledge, and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he had drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So our narrative starts. Daniel and his three friends are in Judea, near Jerusalem. They are living their life, their daily life of activity, their commonplace deeds, doing it unto the Lord. They are comforted in their homes. They are well pleased with all the provisional graces that God has given them. And suddenly, unexpectedly, and in a state of terror, our friend Nebuchadnezzar decides in his good mind, for the good of those people, that they should be taken captivity. Now, you need to come with me and remember a promise that the Lord had given to Abram way back in Genesis, that his people would be as number as the sands of the sea. Abram had been told that at no time would Israel be destroyed. But suddenly, unexpectedly, here Nebuchadnezzar is taking Israel into captivity in Babylon. Now we need to remember a few things about these four individuals that are named in this passage. First of all, they were related to a royal family. They had power, they had prestige, and they had position. They were children, meaning that they were in their early teens, or even maybe younger, around 12, 13, just children learning the new life of godliness from their Jewish teachers under whom they sat regularly. They had no blemish and were well favored. In other words, they were good looking. They had that charisma of being welcomed. Not only were they well educated, but they were intelligent enough to understand the sciences and to read the stars, and to be able to discern what is right and wrong versus that which is good and acceptable to what is pleasant. They were able to understand wisdom, and they had cunning knowledge and understanding science. And lastly, they were able to stand in the king's palace. That is, they were a gracious addition to the court, having tact and self-confidence and other traits of a winning personality. They were highly presentable to the king in Jerusalem. They were no skimming of the scum that had a purposeful scam. They were the children of the highest quality that you could imagine. Here, in their beloved town, their beloved city, Mount Zion, the city of their God. And suddenly, unexpectedly, Nebuchadnezzar comes on the scene and takes them into captivity. Daniel accepts his plight as God's timely placement for his good. Now, I wonder today what your circumstance in life is. We know Doug is going through a trial, but I wonder if others are going through difficulties, disappointments, discouragement, despair, distractions that make you feel that life has come to a bitter discourse. And you are standing on the edge, vacillating. Do I stand firm? Or do I say like Popeye, I can stake no more. I can stake no more. The situation is this, that God, in his providential grace and knowledge and his goodness towards you, has known you while you were in your mother's womb. At this very present time, like David, we need to admit that God knows your uprisings, your downsittings, your outgoings, and your ingoings. And in his caring, loving mind, there is not one second of your life that passes you by without his benevolent concern to carry you, to hug you, to love you, and to support you every moment of your life. So let me ask you, how do you read Psalm 23? Do you read it by rote, or has it come to be an inseparable part of your life as you meditate upon it? On that immutable fact, the Lord is your shepherd. Regardless of the circumstances in which you find yourself, you will never, ever want any good thing. Are you fully established with unwavering confidence that he does lead you, that he is leading you beside the still waters, so that despite your circumstance, he can restore your soul daily? Have you discovered that despite the crushing, burdensome problems that are almost ready to destroy you, have you affirmed in your heart that he will carry you, that you will fear no ill of what man might do to you, because your God is faithfully walking with you, comforting and sustaining you? Are you, despite your circumstances, fully confident that he is preparing a table in the midst of those that would destroy you, and that at the end, because of his faithfulness, your cup will run over with hallelujah, mercy, because his blessings are fresh every morning? Amen?
Amen.
And then, have you discovered in full confidence that despite your circumstance, you're ready to accept as a gift from God and rejoice in the testing, because you know that his goodness and mercy will triumph over every deceitful plan man has concocted? And indeed, in his day, you will dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? And so, Daniel accepts his position as a gift from God. Regardless of what is happening in your life today, I wonder, can you identify with this fact that perhaps God has brought you to the kingdom for such an hour as this, in this testing, so that like Esther, you might be able to bring to the people with whom you associate a timely message of grace and love, protection and rescue out of despair? Secondly, Daniel affirms his preference to follow God no matter what might be the outcome. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord before the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. In the previous passage, when they offered the wine and the food and the drinks, Daniel asked them so that they could be fed with pulse instead of all the fine dining at the king's table. My dear brothers and sisters, Daniel could have had the very, very best. But like Abram, with the king of Sodom, he said, I will not accept anything lest it should be said of me that it was you that empowered me to receive the blessings. And so Daniel and his four friends decided that they would prefer the food that was pleasing unto the Lord. And pulse is nothing more than an 8 or 10 grain mix of bread and other quality foods. The Bible tells us that in the time of the testing, they were 10 times more fairer than the other of the eunuchs. But here is the real matter of testing. Do you remember that when Darius came to be king, he said that he was going to build an idol, a statue, and that all the people were to bow down before him, and they were to worship him. At the sound of the trump, everyone was to bow their knees to Darius and the idol. The threat of not bowing was death. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 4 that Daniel went home immediately and he bowed his knees daily before the Lord 3 times, praying and seeking his kingdom. My dear brothers and sisters, again, we need to affirm that if we are to follow God as his dear children, we need to make a radical preferential decision as to what the focus for our life is going to be. Is it going to be the pleasures, the drawing cards, the trump of pleasure, and all the values that the world offers? Or are we going to prefer God over everything else? Are we, like Joshua, going to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? We need to understand something very, very simply this, that it pleased Daniel to pray 3 times before the Lord. And this is what he says when he is caught. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. Thirdly, Daniel attests to God being his sustaining power. Then said Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had sent before Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, of their countenance appeared fairer than all those of the children which did eat the portion of the king's meal. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And so they attested to God's provisional care. It was the pulse. We have a route that we're making. It's from the cradle to the grave. And on the tombstones, there's only a dash that indicates the length of our trip. But the dash is so important, because either the dash will represent a life of self-sufficiency or a life of self-submission. Self-reliance or self-submission. When we get up in the morning, it can either be a good day or a God day. It all determines on what we're going to attest to be the strength for our life. David says, I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help is in the Lord. Children, as we all know, depend solely upon their parents for loving, protective, provisional care, so that they can make it to becoming empowered to understand the gifting of their parents, so that all throughout their life there will be a distinct attachment of grace and love, an affiliation that can be never separated because of the faithfulness of their parents in bringing them up. At the funeral on Friday for Ruth, undoubtedly we're going to hear the family give great attestation to the goodness of their parents. My dear brothers and sisters, Daniel learned a secret. It was the pulse and the provisional goodness of God that in 10 days they were 3 times fairer than all the other eunuchs. If you want your life to radiate with a love and joy and peace, the excitement, the exhilaration, the intoxication of a fulfilled life, you need to attest that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by His living Spirit dwelling within us and giving us that great quest for a purpose fulfilled life. David learned that. If you remember, David was challenged with all of Israel about Goliath. And Goliath comes with great power and strength, threatening words. David is vastly smaller, and he comes with 5 stones and a sling. And David says to Goliath, "You come to me with all your apparatus, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Confidently, without any hesitation, without any reservation, we need to affirm daily in our mind, there is no weapon of man that is formed against us that shall conquer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in us. He that hath begun a good work in us is well able to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing of things above or things below can ever separate you and I from the love of God. We are ever fixed in the caring, loving hand of the gracious Father who has rescued us out of our sin, not unto ourselves, but unto Him and unto the Father, so that in His good end we shall be one with Him forever into the ages, world without end. So, my dear brothers and sisters, regardless of what is on your mind, you need to remember that like the wise men who followed God's star, we too are following not the star but the cross of the living Christ, who will give us safety, security, and serenity, because not only does He hold us up, but He carries us by the word of His might. Paul says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we that have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no man be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I will make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Listen to some of these people that attested that God was their strength. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. William Carey, a shoemaker who apprenticed in Hackworth in North Hampshire, who left the Church of England to join the dissenters. Later in life, he joined the Particular Baptists, where he pastored and wrote a tract, The Gospel, Worthy of All Acceptance. When he was a young man, at one meeting, he decided that he would call all the people to evangelism. The leader of the group said, "Carey, sit down. If God wants the heathen to be saved, He can do that without your help." Carey was convinced of the call, and he went out and spread the gospel in India. William Wilberforce, a British parliamentarian who in 1787 was inspired by God to have a strong distaste for the plight of slavery. And in 1807, he saw his legislation passed to abolish slavery. William Houghton, Converted at the age of 14, from the age of 17 to 20, Hooton was greatly interested in acting and writing songs for musical. At age 22, he dedicated his life to God's service and immediately registered at Eastern Nazarene College. Unexpectedly, Hooton left the college 6 months later to join R.A. Torrey as the evangelistic song leader. Some years later, he was called to be the main pastor of that church, and then, unexpectedly but by the grace of God, in 1937, he was called to be the president of Moody Bible Institute, and was such until he died. And Billy Graham, the greatest evangelistic message of our time. These are the people that attest God to be the grace. And then in closing, we need to remember the last thing that Daniel did. Daniel signifies a receptive heart to be advanced in the kingdom of nobility. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and in all skill of learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the princes of eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of Cyrus. Following God wholeheartedly, unreservedly, as his dear loved children in light that he gives you, can maximize your potential to be the greatest of all those with whom you work and associate, because he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will enlarge your mind to vision and envision potential possibilities that are hidden to those that only walk precluded in their own self-sufficiency. Without bragging for Doug, I've read some of the letters that the students write of Doug because of his warmth and his spiritual awareness of God directing him in the counsel to give in the classroom. I hear of Ted's articulation with carpentry. I hear of other people who are Christians who are called upon before the ungodly because there is a radiance of the confidence that God is working through them instead of them trying to work through God to manipulate things to their own good end. So, Daniel accepted his place as a providential timing of God. God then elevates Daniel to understand that there's indeed preference for him and for him alone. And as God allows this to resonate and to build up, Daniel now sees the absolute need to follow God and give God the blessing so that God in good time will bring him to the kingdom at full potential. Perhaps like Elijah, you have become consumed with the bitterness, the danger, the injustice, and the horror of the situation, especially if you've done all that you could possibly do to obey, honor, love, and follow God. You may not be able to hear his voice in the tumultuous stress of the clamor of struggle and disarray. You may not be able to enjoy his love. You may not even be able to bring up within yourself a level of confident trust to confess that you are his dear child. My brothers and sisters, hold on to these precious words. Cast all your care upon me, for I do indeed have an unending loving care for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And don't forget these kind words. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will hear you, and I will show you great and marvelous things whereof you know not. Accept these words as God's covenant for you as you follow him and him alone. And my benediction for you would be, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to prevent you faultless before the throne of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. As you leave today, square your shoulders, lift your head, put a brisk step in your path. The Lord is your shepherd. You will not want. Presently, He will lead you beside the still waters and restore your soul. If you are willing to humble yourself under the hand of the Almighty, so that in His time, He will be able to exalt you because of His great, unending, inseparable love for you today. Amen? Richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesmer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.